Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. 6:12 in the morning here. It's the Steve Cochran Show. Justin Kaufman in for Steve today and tomorrow here on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Dave Ennett, Jen DeSalvo, Steve Brzanich. Good morning, everybody.
Welcome back to the early shift.
How about it, huh? I'm doing tonight, too. I'm doing extension 720, wow. And I'm back tomorrow.
Do you feel a little bit out of place since there's no parade going this morning? there's no block party? It's just we're sitting in the studio?
If you caught our show last Friday at the Naperville block party, you caught Radio Gold History. Joe, I know you weren't around. You were in Vegas, but Dave Ennett blew. I don't even know what to say. I would say send it right to Canton. Is Canton a thing for the Radio Hall of Fame or Chicago, the Museum of Broadcast Communication?
Yeah, I don't think that was the highlight of the show. I thought just the overall 4 hours with
it was
the,
a good
the
show,
WGN TV block party was.
Yeah,
was
but come on, you doing play-by-play on the radio of a parade?
Well, it was a first.
Yeah, you're like at the dance, they're going left, they're going right, their arms are up in the air.
I wasn't really prepared to do play-by-play of a dance team, but hey.
It was awesome. All right, we got a great show lined up this morning. We got you covered on the heat. Of course, going to be a hot one out there today, Chicago. If you work outside, you're going to be having to deal with the elements. Go ahead and hydrate, as David Jennings told you in the newscast. But we'll also get you up to date with Paul Conrad coming up after the 6:30 news about what to expect from today. And, of course, tomorrow when the extreme weather comes through, which we could be getting close to 100.
I don't even want to drive.
Yeah?
Well, that's another thing. Make sure that your tires are properly inflated because they'll start blowing.
Lou Manfredini, tomorrow we'll talk with him, you know, because he put something on Facebook and I didn't think about, you know, we were on when it was negative 50,
mm-hmm.
you know, did that whole bit over the wintertime. And Lou came on and talked about how to treat your house and to keep the water running, things like that. But the same goes when it's extreme weather the other way. And there are some things you need to do to treat your house when it's this hot. Especially when it's around your central air and things like that. And Lou had a whole thing on Facebook, so we'll talk to him tomorrow morning about what to do about your AC, what to do. He said one of the things he said, and he'll say it tomorrow too, was draw the blinds. You don't want the sun to get into the house because then what happens is that makes the AC continue to run and run and run. It's something I didn't even think about. You know, for me, I'm a rise and shine kind of guy. Pull those blinds and welcome to the morning. I'm not going to be able to do that.
And he also, I think, recommended coating your house in ice cream or a non-dairy type dessert.
Yeah, if you have lactose, right.
How do you do that without eating it, though?
Yeah, that's part of the issue.
That's an issue.
That's why it's extreme temperatures, Jen. That's why it's an emergency situation.
Well, perfect afternoon sounds like the blinds drawn with a bowl of ice cream anyway. So.
Yeah, works out. All right, coming up, so we'll have Paul and Tim McGill. They'll both be on coming up at 6:40. We got Hawks convention passes to give away today. Also, a cast member, local cast member, who grew up, I believe, in, was it Elmhurst or? Actually went to Libertyville, somewhere in that area. Lexi Plath, who is in the new, I guess I don't want to say remake, but the new Mounting of Cats.
Oh, neat.
Which is in Chicago, opened last night. So we'll have her in studio.
Midnight also the night and the kitties.
Sorry, memory. You know, that's a song from Cats. I didn't know that. I was looking at all the Cats. I've never seen a play. And I know that Steve always talks about he didn't like the play. Or he didn't like the musical, Steve Cochran. But I haven't seen it, and I want to see it this time around. But I didn't realize that song was a big... That song, Memory in the Corner of Memory, that's from Cats.
Huh. Yeah,
I saw it years ago.
Oh, wait, is that what how it goes? Not the kitties are sleeping?
It might be a different Memories. Wait, it's a... Midnight, not
and
a sound
the
from the pavement.
Yeah, all right.
As the moon lost her memory.
I think people got what I was trying to say, Steve. I think they understood what I was going for.
Yeah, good.
Sorry
thing
it wasn't so specific.
Rosanna's
getting all specific on the Broadway police over there. Don't you live close to Broadway?
No, I don't live close to Broadway. No.
All right, so that's coming up. Also, the chancellor from the University of Illinois will be here. I know that might be an issue for you, Dave, being a cat.
It's not a no
issue. Okay.
No, it's, well, there's kind of a cat theme there, but no, it's not an issue for me at all.
Is that Andrea?
Yes. Yeah, it's Andrea. Is the she's the assistant chancellor.
Oh, assistant.
She's
chancellor.
On her way to being chancellor, but she, but Dr. Robert Jones.
She's an issue for me.
Yeah, she's an issue, right? And coming up, also Lola Wright's going to join us. This is a very interesting story about. She's head of the Bode Institute, and I really like this story because she is talking about how newer generations, millennials and generation, whatever you call them next, are not really taking on religion, sort of organized religion as we know it. They consider themselves to be spiritual, but they do not have religious affiliation. The numbers continue to rise. So the question becomes, they still want the things that religion offers, the sense of community and togetherness, but they're not going to the church. So we'll talk with Lola about what the Bode Institute is doing about it, and also just about those startling numbers, which continue to go up. So all that coming up here on the Steve Cochran Show. The Top 6 at 6 is next.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the Top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
All right, let's get to it. The Top 6 at 6. We'll start, of course, with temperatures rising. Extreme heat will take over towards the end of today. The city and surrounding areas bracing for tomorrow, which could see temperatures closer to 100 degrees. Metro planning, or they already are, slowing trains as a precaution. Cooling centers are set up. It's an interesting time in Chicago because I think we're used to hot temperatures, but there's that looming history of what happened in 1995 with a heat wave of 700 and some odd people dying. And there's a new documentary. We're going to talk with the producers of that documentary tomorrow on the program. But just about that, really, the end. I watched a documentary last week, and it's amazing as we get through everything that we're doing as the media and the government to prepare people for the heat. That at the end of that documentary, they said Chicago has done nothing to prevent this from happening again. Meaning they talk about, you could talk, you know, and there, everything has been about preventative measures. Everything's been about getting on the news and mm-hmm. making sure you say their cooling centers, this, that, and the other.
But no, like, social services in place.
Exactly. But the issue, the underlying issue which caused so many deaths had to do with societal issues like poverty.
Yeah.
And crime. And some of the areas, when they break down the map, this is what really was great about the documentary. Most of the deaths, I mean, they pinpoint where the deaths came from. It's called Cook Survival by Zip Code. It's the south and west sides of Chicago, the mostly impoverished neighborhoods of Chicago that had untenable living situations, mm-hmm. meaning landlords who locked the windows or old elderly who essentially didn't want to open their window because they were afraid of criminals jumping in and killing them at night and things like that. So they rather took their chances with the heat than the elements that were outside. And that's what the documentary is about. And it's just fascinating look. It's really good. And we're going to talk about it tomorrow.
And we're now also getting reports. Eric Rung did a story yesterday on air conditioning units being stolen, and not necessarily window AC units. It's the big
ones.
They're
going after the big ones?
Yeah. So he was recommending, you know, putting cages that are locked around it.
Go ahead and steal mine. I'll be honest with you. They're on their last leg. I'm trying to get through this summer.
Yeah,
Dave. I think
here.
I've been saying this
same
for
here.
You
yeah, and you and I had this conversation a year ago. We're both like on borrowed time with our AC.
I know. It's like today, I was just like, oh, this could be it. Please don't be it. But yeah. We'll see. Well,
I guard mine with my life. Right. There's nobody stealing my AC unit. Yeah, no way, dude.
I replaced mine finally last summer, and I've got mine down to 61 degrees.
Oh, 61 degrees.
Really?
No, it's not that low. It's still. I'm not worried about it anymore, so you. I don't mind setting it at like 68 or 70.
You're wearing your parka inside.
Last summer, I was like, I'm scared to turn it below 75. Yeah. It might blow up.
It might blow up. That's where Dave and I are at.
Yes.
So. All right. Even though House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is against impeachment proceedings, it didn't stop junior Democrats from introducing a resolution to remove President Donald Trump, but the measure was voted down. Lost 332-95. At a rally in North Carolina last night, the president again doubled down on his statements against four Democrat congresswomen, including already unproven falsities that Representative Omar refused to condemn Al-Qaeda, saying, once again, if you don't like this country, you can leave. And then the crowd started chanting, send her back, which, all right, we're going to do chants again. I thought that was a 2016 thing. We got to go back in the chants. It's going to be a nonstop election cycle of chance.
I mean, it worked before, didn't it?
Right? Going back to the well on the chance. It's anything the president says.
I mean, when you chant lock her up, she gets locked up, doesn't she?
Send her back. Lock her up. It said there. Gosh. What's the actual consistency there? Yeah, so an interesting, I know, Steve, you're on this story too, but the president is loose. I mean, he always is, but he's really loose with the facts when it comes to this. And he's been tweeting out all this kind of stuff about this one congresswoman from Minnesota. And
most of it's wrong. Most of it's just not true.
It's made up. It's kind of out of thin air. And I don't know if he's getting it from conservative circles or what, but the Al-Qaeda stuff specifically is a strange one because, of course, she's Muslim, but she's never said that. She's actually condemned. She has condemned. She made a very... I read this whole piece yesterday. Steve, I think you read the same one, about this idea that she was very thoughtful when someone asked her about condemning a terrorist attack that had just happened. She was from Somalia, and I think that it was around that time. And she said, why is it that every time there's a terrorist attack around the country from some extremist... every person of color, every person who's Muslim, of Muslim faith, has to condemn it. You don't see that happening with school shootings or when someone who's white goes and shoots something up. You're not asking Super Joe to condemn it. So there's some value and some validity in that. Mm-hmm. You know, that why she's always asked that. And so to have that and then to say that she's not condemning Al-Qaeda seems to be a stretch.
Yeah, and even just simple stuff. I mean, people have pulled off things from her Twitter feed where, you know, she's a Muslim woman, and so when she tweets something like, Ali Akbar, God is great, well, that's something a religious person might say when they get up in the morning, right?
Right.
If they're a Muslim. So
anyway, this continues. We're hoping it might settle down, but it seems to be heating up. All right, locally protests continue in Naperville because a gas station attendant questioned a Mexican-American teen's citizenship, told her visiting cousins, she had cousins with her, to go back to their country. DuPage residents have been protesting the gas station for the incident, which was partly caught on video. It's now going viral. Also got a Naperville twofer for you. The Naperville board voted to keep recreational marijuana from being sold there. Yep, when it comes legal in January, don't look for dispensaries in Naperville city limits. They say they want to stay on brand as a family-friendly community. How about that? Naperville in the news a week after we're there. They couldn't put this stuff in the news last Friday. We would have been talking about this all day.
Well, we had a lot to talk about.
I know, but I feel like they almost withheld this news. They're like, here comes the Cochran Show. Let's hold off on being racist at the gas station. Let's hold off.
Yeah, and I feel like a dispensary is going to pop up right across the city limit line.
Give me a break. Yeah. If you live in Naperville, the idea that you're not going to be cruising Butterfield Road and be like, yo, and head out to Downers Grove for a minute, I'll be back in five. That's ridiculous.
That's just like the gambling in the facilities that are literally across the street from Chicago city limits. You walk in and there's a video gaming in like Summit or
have
something.
Have you been to Tahoe? Have you been to Lake Tahoe?
Sure.
In Tahoe, it's the state line is right there, so it's Nevada and California. So before all the marijuana, before any of that stuff, the state line is right down the center of the town. So on one side, you have like Shady Pine, California, and then right on the other side to Nevada is just these huge casinos. Yes. And you see it's so stark, you're like, whoa, that must be where the state line is at. So that's what's going to happen between Naperville and Plainfield.
Plainfield, okay. I don't quite see it that way.
Right across the way, and it's going to be huge casino or marijuana dispensaries.
What other communities border Naperville?
Well, I guess Aurora is Aurora,
Bolingbrook, Romeoville.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
they're all like
you see
all,
them all lining up.
They're all lining up. Okay. Right. All right. Mayor, speaking of casinos, Mayor Lightfoot announced five sites that have been chosen for finalists for the Chicago casinos. Some aldermen are pushing back, though, because all the sites are on the south and west sides of Chicago, far from any tourist money that might be coming through town. Many wanted it downtown so that the revenue generated from those venues would not come from impoverished communities. Interesting conversation. We'll continue that one, of course. In sports, well, I don't know if this is sports, Dave, but the Bears defense, the number one rated defense in the new Madden 2020.
Well, I mean, that's great. That's fine. I'd really rather they be the number one rated defense in the NFL, which they might very well be.
I don't know. As
do
a Madden player,
kind of,
I play Madden 2013. That's the last one they made for Nintendo Wii. But I take a little bit of pride in the fact that the Bears defense would be number one. Now, the argument, too, is that Mitch Trubisky is not number one. His rating in that game is towards the bottom. Yeah, that's not good for the game. So it's just funny that
it's worse than Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson. Come on. Wow.
Super Joe. I've never heard Super Joe that wound up.
One more. Okay. And finally, antioxidants found in red wine may be used to power humans going to Mars. A new study says that the compound found in grapes can help us combat the G-forces and lack of gravity we would encounter in space.
Good to know. Drink wine, go to go to Mars.
So, Dave, that's perfect for you as a wine
drinker. Yeah, just pile on. I believe that either Pat or Steve asked Commander Lovell yesterday
about
going to Mars. Didn't ask specifically about the wine.
Didn't ask Captain Lovell.
No.
So how much wine do you drink, sir? You're an American hero. How many glasses do you get in?
You need to go to Mars.
All right, that's your top six at six.
That's it!
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
All right, coming up, the WGN-TV Weather Guys will be here to talk about the heat.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Hot town, summer in the city, back of my neck.
Well, this is the day it's supposed to be hot, and tomorrow Paul Conrad and Tim McGill joining me from the TV side. We saw these guys. We saw Paul out in Naperville last week.
Yeah, big Justin, star. It was great to see you.
Great to see you too, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. I'm in a nice air-conditioned room. I got Tim McGill sitting on my knee right now, so we're in great shape.
Well, let me start with you, Paul, because I know you got to run. But this kind of day, when you're talking about extreme heat, you know, as you see all the weather that's coming through, has it changed over the years for you to recognize what's coming through, or is heat just heat?
I think heat's just heat. I think we're in a culture now where everything, especially in our news business, everything has to feel like it's super dramatic or we've never seen it before or anything like that. But the reality is we've been dealing with hot weather for hundreds and hundreds of years. In fact, I looked this morning, Skilling had something in one of his things in the last couple of days or so about how back in 1934, we went, I think, 8 days in a row with temperatures into the 90s, and we had a couple, 3 days where it was 107, 108, 109 degrees. So it's hot, but we get hot here all the time.
Yeah.
Especially with McGill on my knee, it's getting hotter by the second.
Starting to perspire a little
bit. Thank you.
Well, before we continue with the talk about what's coming up with the heat, there is a big storm that's hitting the Chicago area in the northern area right now. What do we know about the storm that's coming through?
Yeah, we've got some stronger storms now that are affecting especially our northern northwest suburbs. The good news about these is that it's going to temper the heat a little bit. I think it's going to cool things down compared to what we could see without these storms. Now, without these storms, we'd probably be in the mid to upper 90s this afternoon. But these storms will cool us down to the low 90s. Still going to be awful. Still going to feel like 100 degrees out there, but it could be a lot worse. But the storms that are coming through this morning, the biggest threat from these will be some heavy downpours especially, and then some lightning and maybe some damaging winds, even a little bit of size hail. So we're watching those this morning. I think most of these should be out of here by about midday, and then we're going to quickly clear up and quickly climb to about 92 or 93 in some spots this afternoon.
And the real issue too is the overnight. You know, usually that thing's going to come down, but obviously as it rises throughout the day, it's going to be a hot night tonight.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get much cooler than about 79 or 80. And they figured out back in the 95 heat wave, that was what was so crucial, is that your body doesn't get a chance to cool down overnight when it stays that warm. You need that time to get a little bit of a break. And tonight's not going to be a great night for sleeping, unless you have air conditioning for sure, around 80 for the low tonight.
Paul, what should we expect for this storm? When we have the heat wave that's rolling through tomorrow, the big day, I also see 90s into Saturday. When will this break?
It looks like now Sunday. We had, a couple days ago, it was looking more like on Monday, but it looks like things are going to be getting back to more seasonable temperatures here starting on Monday. We'll likely max out in the mid-80s, and that looks to hold into next week. So really, got to get through today, tomorrow, and Saturday. And again, tomorrow, looks like we could see heat index values. It'll feel like could be anywhere from 105 to 115 degrees out there. So it's going to get really hot and sticky. Today's bad, but I think tomorrow and Saturday will be even worse.
So, Paul, I have a 2 o'clock tea time tomorrow afternoon. Yeah. Do you think maybe I ought to rethink that?
No, I would go for just make sure you've got a jacket and long pants on. Just, you get a hat, get a good wool hat on.
You don't want to get
there.
Chilled.
Yeah, just in case. I'll join you, in fact.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I got a sleeping bag. I'll keep in the cart for us.
Listen, there are actually jackets out there that you can wear. They've been wearing them in Death Valley to run an ultra marathon this week.
Oh, really?
So it's like, yeah. So we just need to get you some of these like nice, thin, sun reflective. Yeah.
All right, sounds good.
All right, we'll let you guys go. But my last thought on it is, I mean, as you said, the heat's been coming through the Chicago area for hundreds and hundreds of years. Is there anything in particular about this heat wave that we should be concerned about?
Well, those heat index values that Paul talked about, I think especially tomorrow afternoon and Saturday, heat index of around 100 to 115 degrees. In the peak of the afternoon when the sunshine is going to be its greatest, it's when you really got to be concerned about staying safe. But today we'll get a little bit of a break compared to that. It'll still be awfully muggy, but especially tomorrow and Saturday, you have to watch out. And then we'll get that relief on Sunday.
All right. Watch WGN TV news, morning news all morning this morning to see Paul and Tim doing their best work. Guys, thanks for joining.
Appreciate it.
Great to talk to you now. There you go. All right. Get off your lap now.
Jen will be out there running.
Yeah. Is that a thing? That's a thing where now they've figured out jacket technology where you can control temperature?
I just got a new long sleeve in that has little dots, micro dots in it that reflect the sun. So it doesn't absorb into, you know, your clothing. It's a long sleeve shirt. Plus, Columbia also makes arm sleeves that when you sweat, it feels cold.
I have the same thing. I have this technology. I got this new technology where it's like it's a big inflatable sumo wrestler suit, and it's got a fan inside, and I can walk around with that, and I can be cool inside.
Is it hard to run in?
It's hard to run. Yeah. It's hard to walk. It's hard to breathe. But it's cold. It's nice kind of cold. So.
But the whole Death Valley thing was real. It was 135 miles in Death Valley this week. And
If I could be the counterbalance to Paul about the heat not being a big deal.
Conflict.
No, I just think, we're, as a human species, we're a little weaker than we were 100 years ago.
Yeah, true.
I don't want anybody thinking, okay, it's not a big deal. We're not going to do anything to, protect ourselves from what will be dangerous heat.
Yeah.
There
was a great point in that doc. You'd love this documentary, Steve. You should see it. It's called Cooked, but it was all about the heat wave. And there was a great point about that. They talk about that Chicago's had heat waves in the past. There have been, and they talked about one that came through in the 60s. Mm-hmm. And they specifically talked about Inglewood. And the neighborhood of Inglewood in the 60s had a shopping corridor that was only second to downtown Chicago. They had a bustling community. All this happening there. So when it got real hot like that, and AC wasn't really a thing at that time, people would go sleep in the park. Yep. Or they would sleep on their porches. Or they might open the window. They would many other ways to cool themselves. Mm-hmm. When you look at Inglewood today, and it might be a little different than what it was in 1995, although it's probably not, there's not that option. You can't go sleep in the park. You can't even open your window. Crime and gangs and everything in between affects how you live your life. And that was very interesting to think about that. That, yes, as Paul talks about, we have had heat waves in the past, and we have had other ways to cope that we don't have anymore.
I didn't realize the severity of how many people lost their lives in 95.
Right.
I was a child.
700 people. It was not just an ordinary thing that happened. It was a disaster.
And the documentary it was amazing because I forgot about this. If any of us were reporting at that time, I was an intern at WBEC at that time. But that it started that the deaths started to trickle in. It wasn't something, the heat wave was actually over before they knew all the deaths. So it was only a 2-day, that's what the documentary said, it was 104 degrees, it got to 104 for two, and it broke. And when it broke, then they started to go, oh, this is strange that that there's so many calls for, and so the bodies started to pile up, and the coroner's office had to bring in refrigerated trucks.
Yeah, I was at the medical examiner's office reporting for WBBM at the time, and I remember I was staked out at the medical examiner's office watching police truck after police truck bring bodies to the medical examiner's office. Then after a day or so of that, then the refrigerated trucks started showing up.
And eyewitness accounts, not unlike what Steve's talking about, like just from neighbors and others where they go pick up bodies, people who had succumbed to the heat, and they would just pile them into the paddy wagons, so the police paddy wagons, and just be like, you'd open the door and there'd be piles of bodies.
And so what we'd like to leave you with, I think, is just this notion that the heat impacts are cumulative. You've heard that before. So even though it might only be 90 today, if it's going to be 92 tomorrow, it was 90 yesterday, 90 the day before that. If you're not getting into air conditioning at least for 20 minutes or 30 minutes or an hour, during the next few days to sort of take away some of the impacts of that. By Sunday, you could start having negative effects if you've been in no air conditioning at all.
Well, something also to think of, because I do remember from 95, I lived in a town southwest of Chicago, and half the town had electric for 3 hours, and then they'd shut it off and give the other half of the town, because the generators and transformers were just blowing. The generators were overrunning. The transformers were blowing. So we actually like picked up and went to the nearest Walmart to hang out for a little bit, because we didn't have air conditioning. Right. We didn't have electricity at all.
Yeah, one of the big findings after the heat wave in 95 was just experts realized just how important it was to be in air conditioning even for a little bit of time for people. And so that's why we have cooling centers, government buildings, other places, libraries that you can go in and just spend a little bit of time getting cool. That's the whole point.
Steve, they have some great, in the documentary, great footage of Mayor Daley at the time, you know, with his dressed down because they went casual. Because it was so hot out, so he would have he wouldn't have a tie on, but he had his pleated khakis, and he would, and they showed him arguing with the medical examiner's office about the numbers, saying, "Oh, everybody who dies in July died of the heat." Remember that? He was like, "They really pushed back on the numbers."
I remember one time covering him where one of his sound bites that we kept for years and years after it was, "Everybody knows in the summer it's hot, in the winter it's cold."
Yeah,
sort of being dismissive about the whole thing, and then obviously the tune changed after.
Well, I think that's a big thing that has changed in 20 some odd years, that you see the public officials being less glib about it. Mm-hmm. You see, you know, you don't have that, because I think right before the heat wave came in, Daley had a press conference, and he made, like Steve talked about, but he also said something, that's why people live here. We're extreme. And he laughed and he walked off the stage. And I don't think he knew that 700 people were going to die, but the idea that he was just kind of making fun of the weather like we all do. So
160 degree difference from February to right now.
How about that?
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
We're talking about the heat this morning, but other things as well, including Chicago Casino. Some issues around that, of course, as aldermen are surprised this morning that all of the finalists, there are only five finalists for the Chicago Casino site, are on the south and west sides of Chicago. So we'll talk about that coming up. Also, talk about Cats. Not the species, but the Broadway musical. Cats is back in Chicago. We'll talk about that coming up. And we're also going to have the chancellor from the University of Illinois, Dr. Robert Jones, in studio. And also, you know, when we talk about the heat, David Jennings gave me the update yesterday. He called the park district. We're thinking about camps. You know, when it's extreme weather the other way, when it's cold, it's usually during the school year. So we'll have the emergency closing center. And, one of my favorite things to do in the world is to pretend like it's 1984 and I'm glued to the TV/radio hoping that my school's going to be mentioned. But to be in a position where I could be the one who says, "All right, Marengo, you have no school." I'm like, but
something. When-
love it.
You just have this love for announcing school closings.
I love it.
I mean, I can see this little 8-year-old. Hey, Miles, what do you think your dad would have been like waiting to see if a school was closed on a snowy morning
Miles
when he was
here
a
this
kid?
Do you at all, Miles, do you ever think about that? Like when it's snowy out, do you think, I hope school gets canceled?
Well, sometimes.
Sometimes?
Like, if it's, like, a big test that determines, like, 5,000% of my grade, then I'm like, no, I don't want school to be closed. But if it's, like, nothing in the world going on except for, like, one, like, textbook assignment is due, then I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
See, there's a big difference between Miles, who does his homework, and Super Joe, who doesn't, you know?
But, you know, I thought about this with camps. We'll talk about it after the news, Miles, because Miles has been summer camps. He's here today. But, you know, there are a lot of, I know some Little League organizations are canceling their games because they don't want these kids out there in 90, 95 degree heat. You also, the park district said, no, we're going to keep the parks open because, you know, the schools and some of the park district facilities they use have air conditioning. So not unlike in the summer, in the wintertime, it's a safe space for kids to go. But we all, Miles has been in park district camp, and I've walked into the gymnasium to get him at the end of a day, and if they're running the AC in there, okay.
Yeah.
Sure,
you can't tell.
Have AC, though.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I guess it's better than being at home without it. But
the public pool, though, they extended open swim hours yesterday. Oh, yes.
That's a good thing.
I went. I was so.
You did?
I was like a kid. It was like
you went to the public pool. Where'd you go?
California pool. It's off Irving Park in California.
You're going to the public pool and just like hanging out there for hours on end.
Not hours on end. I try to lap swim because of course it's me. Right. But yeah.
No, all right, we may have a new segment. I want to know more about Jen going to the public pool. Oh, open office, hey, the open pool hours. Yay! I haven't been to a public pool in years. All right, coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Gazanish from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Hey, you know that song? You know what that means? We're giving away passes to the 12th Annual Blackhawks Convention, which is next Friday through Sunday, July 26th through 28th at the Hilton Chicago. The convention features current players, alumni, autographs, photo sessions, Q&A panels, exhibits, interactive games, and more. Visit Blackhawks.com to purchase your passes today. But let's do four right now. Let's give away four. Let me think about this.
The new guy.
Yeah.
Alex Nylander.
What's his number?
He was wearing number 92 at development camp the other day.
So let's do 92. Nine plus two is 11. 11 divided by two. You can't do that, so you can't find it. So let's go with 11. What do you think? 11th caller?
Perfect.
312-981-7200. You get four passes.
That was an interesting way you arrived.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm a math guy. I've always been a math guy. You know, and they used to call me Algebra J back in the day. They never called me that, Dave. That was never a thing.
No.
Actually, it was more like, could you come to the principal's office because we're kicking you out of algebra because you're a troublemaker.
Well, plus, nobody wants to wait for the 90-second caller.
No. Right. No,
that takes
Joe did. Too
much. Joe did. He'd want to go there. 312-981-7200, the phone number today. It looks like we're going to get a winner because the line's lit up. We've got a great hour coming up here. Heather Sharon's going to join us, talk a little bit about what's happening in Chicago politics, including the finalists for the sites for Chicago Casino, so why some aldermen are not happy with that. Also, today is Take Your Boy to Work Day. I think that's what it is. Miles is here, my son Miles.
Hello.
We're kind of in a, you know, it's Miles' birthday coming up on Monday. It's
gonna
be
his birthday.
It's going to be 12 years old.
My 12 years of life milestone.
That's right. Miles said we should run 12 miles to celebrate 12 years of Miles.
Did he really say that?
That's what he said. And I was like, we're not doing that.
Well, that's what I do for my birthday every year. I run my age in miles. It just keeps climbing.
What?
I'll go out and do 12 miles with you.
Woo!
Yeah.
I think we were saying we're going to walk it, right? Or we're going to run it. Jen runs. She's like an experienced, like, professional runner.
You're the Flash.
You like the Flash, right? Yeah, there you go. So, Miles, this is a year I've kind of complained on air about we're not doing the Park District camp for the first time this year because you didn't like it. Last year I did a little covert, came to the camp a little bit early to see how Miles was doing.
Uh-huh.
And he was sitting on the bleachers by himself reading a book while everyone else was playing sports. And maybe this is not the right...
There are multiple things that factor into that. One, when you're six, when I first went into that camp, it's crafts, sports, all the other fun stuff. But when you get to 11 and 12, it's just sports. And then I have also summer reading to do every single year, five books a
summer.
Here comes
the excuse. I think there's an excuse storm coming through downtown Chicago.
You want an academic type camp instead of athletic
right.
camp.
So we acquiesced and we did that this time around. To the chagrin of the checkbook, of course. We went into the 1 to 2 week camps, the specialized camps, and Miles here with a quick review before we went. So you did, the first one you did was Frank Lloyd Wright camp.
Yes, we visited his house in Oak Park, and we basically went around the house and we took 10 pictures of the house with a Polaroid camera. It wasn't ours. It was the Frank Lloyd Wright Trust's cameras.
Okay.
It's very silent.
Yeah, and then what?
This is interesting.
And then we made a house out of pictures, using the pictures, styrofoam, cardboard, air dry clay, popsicle sticks, giant toothpicks.
Mm. So you had to make your own design.
Yeah, basically.
That's great. And that was a week-long camp. Did you like that?
Yes, I did.
You also got really into the Hamilton soundtrack because you came back and you were singing all this Hamilton. And I was like, what is this? And that's what was playing at the... at the camp.
Yeah, we were just playing Hamilton the whole time.
All right, and then you moved on to the theater camp,
Looking Glass Theater. I went to that camp for 2 weeks. It was a physical theater camp. We put on the play Peter Pan.
Which was really good.
Peter Pan.
Right. Who did you play in the play?
I played Smee, the first mate to Captain Hook.
Right. And Miles was really good because his big line was, "Fire!
Fire!"
Right. And it was really
super
good.
Loud. Oh,
that was chilling.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I get the
now,
sense.
Now, my favorite part about this camp, I love everything. They do a great job, and it was a really great show. Miles came to us probably a week in, and he said, "We need to purchase a leotard for the show." And I was like, "Oh, all right, that's an interesting choice." So we went to Amazon and did it. And he said, "Everybody in the class is going to, we have to wear leotards for this performance." I'm like, "Okay." So we get to the performance on Friday. It was right after the Naperville block party.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's in shorts and t-shirts. And here comes Miles with his leotard on. Like, the only one in the leotard.
Here's the thing.
So we're trying to figure out if you just wanted to wear a leotard. And
there's two halves to that story. One half is I really wanted to wear a leotard because I've never worn one before. And the other half.
They're snug. Yeah. They feel safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And our instructor, she was like, "Hey, before she said anything about black, right the day of when I asked you to get that leotard, you said, you can wear a leotard."
She said that?
Yeah.
Well, at first I was like...
And then after we ordered the leotard, she said, "Oh, you can just wear regular black."
Yeah. But my favorite part about it is, you know, when you came out, I kind of was, I had a chuckle, but then you owned it.
Yeah.
A Smee and a leotard.
I
was like, this, I don't know, it's, you know, Smee in the cartoon or in the Doctor Hook or Captain Hook.
He doesn't wear a leotard.
No, he's just this kind of like older, gray-haired, fat guy, right? Isn't that the character?
Yes.
But you came in with a different approach, with a full leotard and a lot of action, a lot of power to it. And
it's his own interpretation.
Yeah. I have a lot of authority.
Yeah, apparently.
And then next camp, which is coming up on Monday, is...
On my birthday, which is...
Yeah, you're not happy about that.
Oh, so we can't do 12 miles.
Well, he's mad because... we're making him go to camp on his birthday because it's the first day of camp. You can't miss the first day of debate
camp. No, it's
camp.
Like missing first day of school.
Yeah, you can't do it.
College.
So and it's only till the early afternoon, so you still have your afternoon. So
yeah, I just got a bit sidetracked a sec because I just saw a Mario Maker 2 commercial on the
on WGN 9.
Well, thanks for getting sidetracked.
Sorry.
All right, well that's perfect.
Sorry, that's just the game that I've been waiting for.
All right, that's what you want for your birthday, huh?
Yes.
Mario Maker 2.
Yes, yes.
All right, so let's do this. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll do the most valuable person on the planet coming up.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by MegaPros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call...
The most valuable person on the planet.
Most valuable person on the planet, sponsored by MegaPros. They make it fun to get stuff done. This is a great one on the line with us. This is so fun. Sister Judy. Sister Judy, this is something you guys do out at Trinity High School. This is something called the Taste of North Avenue. You talk about River Forest and Elmwood Park. You are really taking the idea of all these kids, these new class that comes in, and the school does this Taste of North Avenue to help welcome and keep and make the kids comfortable to enter the school. Welcome. You're the most valuable person on the planet.
Well, thank you very much. What a great title for the show. I mean, it makes everybody feel special. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, Trinity, we've got some really fun things going. And like you were saying, we're trying to make our new students, our new young women, come into Trinity. We take women from 60 different zip codes in the city, and they come to us from 140 different grade schools. So there's a lot of newness for them. Right. A lot of them haven't been in our neighborhood, and we have such great business support that we thought it was one way we could sort of turn back and support them.
Yeah,
and by introducing our students to them.
So, where does this idea come from? Because there's obviously orientation and other ways for students to be acclimated to a new culture or a new school, but the idea of essentially having a taste of North Avenue, where did that idea come from?
Well, we have some really creative people working in our admissions and in our academic fields, and we were just trying to think. You always have to feed students when they come, So we were talking about different ways that we could, you know, take care of getting lunch or whatever. And somebody said, well, what about if we just walk down there? And so, you know, that's literally what they do. We're, the school's located on Division and Lathrop. So we walk down this Lathrop doing different kinds of icebreaker games with the students along the way, talking to one another, getting to know one another. And then we stop and start visiting the different stores along the way. And the store businesses have really responded, really very fun. And they love seeing the girls. And it's a fun way for the girls to get familiar with each other in the neighborhood.
It's also really important, too, because, you know, when you're a freshman, you're coming into school, it can be really hard to adjust and not only acclimate to the surroundings, to the new school, but to the upperclassmen. So to have this kind of experience before school starts in the summer, it's one that obviously helps for when the bell rings.
Exactly. And the fun thing is we have so many upperclassmen who want to help. We had over 160 volunteer to just help us with these incoming freshman days, just because they want to make it a great experience for the next class, just like it was for them. So that always makes me really proud that, you know, that they want to give back and that they're willing to spend kind of their last week of their summer doing something for these new students. So that's another fun side of it.
Well, it's going to be next Wednesday. And you talk about the businesses and the support of the surrounding area. Trinity has been such an important part of that area for 100 years or so.
It has been, yeah.
So it is part of, I mean, when you talk about what makes a community, having a school associated with the businesses, the school, the kids, you know, obviously go to those businesses. It's all sort of a cycle for the community.
Absolutely. And if you you can remember your high school, which I can barely remember mine, but it's all those fun things, you know, the after school stopping for, you know, a Coke or going for pizza, or that those are the memories that make, you know, make life really wonderful. And so that's what we want to provide for our students and also really safe, fun, you know, great places for them to come. Mm-hmm. You know, one real fun store is the Fresh Vine Grocery Store, where they literally give the girls a little kind of goodie bag. And we also have the opportunity then to talk about more nutritional food. But being in Chicago, we also have great pizza places and, you know, so it's a really fun day.
Yeah.
It's a great opportunity.
Trinity High School hosts incoming freshmen, The Taste of North Avenue, Wednesday, 12:30 to 3, right in Elmwood Park and Restaurant Row there. Sister Judy joins us. She's the most valuable person on the planet. Sister Judy, thanks for joining us. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having our story on your show.
Yeah.
Have a great day.
You too. All right. Storms are rolling in here in the Chicago area. They've hit a lot of the surrounding suburbs, including the northern suburbs, McHenry County and company. A lot of photos and stories coming in through our text line. We'll update you that on the story and on the storm and much more here on the Steve Cochran Show. So stay with us.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Justin Kaufman in for Steve this morning here on 720 WGN. Dave Ennett, Jen DeSalvo, and Steve Grzanich are here. We'll continue to monitor the storms that are coming through the area and keep you up to date on the weather. Of course, the heat advisory after this storm comes through, which we heard earlier this hour, Tim McGill was telling us that the storms may help with the heat, but it also is going to add to the humidity as the heat comes through and rolls through till the weekend, possibly Sunday. So the 2 o'clock tea time tomorrow, Dave Ennett. Good luck with that.
Well, I'm wondering about Jen's midday run.
Yeah,
because I've run outside around midday the last couple of days. Yeah. Yesterday wasn't so bad, but
Jen has the clothes where she's got the long sleeve jacket that keeps you cold. Dave doesn't have that, so I say shirtless on the golf course. I don't know what the rules are.
No,
I don't know what the rules. You're not allowed to
do that.
Shirtless.
No, you
know what. These elitist golfers.
No shoes, no shirt, no golfing.
Yeah.
Won't let you go without a shirt.
You have to have a collar on your shirt. It can't even be a t-shirt.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Like, this is important information. I have a golf outing on Monday.
You got to collar it up. You have to have a collared shirt.
Because nothing says collared shirt like golf.
Yeah.
playing outside and a little ball. That's like, always blows my. At least they keep decorum in the sport. You know, yeah. They don't want all the they don't want the hoodlums coming in with their non-collared T-shirts.
I gotta go buy a collared shirt. I just rip them all off of mine. I don't know what to do now.
That's a problem.
All right, let's get our first report. That's what we're going to call this from here on out. From the Daily Line Chicago, managing editor Heather Sharon joins us on the line. She, of course, like I just said, is managing editor of one of the best sites that can cover Chicago politics. Heather, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I like that. I like calling it the first report. That's what you call your newsletter that you send out every morning.
Yeah, that's right.
A nice little branding thing. Anyway, let's get in. There's three stories I want to talk about that pertain to Chicago. One, let's start with what I think is the fresh story about Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle sends a letter to Mayor Lori Lightfoot about violence, specifically pertaining to the Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson, really pushing a false narrative on what the actual issues are. Why does Tony Preckwinkle send a letter to the mayor?
Well, what's interesting is that this dispute has been sort of bubbling underneath the still rampant violence on the south and the west sides. And Chicago Police, led by Eddie Johnson, have taken to tweeting every Monday or so the number of people arrested for gun crimes and then the number of those people who were released on bail by the Cook County courts. And of course, Tony Preckwinkle oversees the Cook County courts and has led a real push to reduce the jail population by releasing more people. So Lori Lightfoot had a press conference last week, and she basically agreed with Eddie Johnson, saying that that was part of what was driving the violence in Chicago. And that, of course, sets up a direct confrontation between Lori Lightfoot and Tony Preckwinkle, who, of course, were last seen scrapping it out in the Chicago mayoral election.
Right. But Preckwinkle makes a good point, and I've seen this backed up in studies, that the false narrative that she says is being pushed is that these gun offenders are getting released from the from jail and going right out and offending again, if you will. So, but she says that the evidence is not there to support it, and that there is, like I said, a false narrative that the police are pushing here.
Right. And this is also something that's been pushed by the Fraternal Order of Police, who are no big fans of Tony Preckwinkle or Lori Lightfoot. And of course, the city's contract with the FOP is up, has been up for 2 years. And that's part of this as well, because police say they're frustrated. They arrest somebody, they get charged, and they're back on the street right away.
Hmm. Well, we'll continue to look at that. It's just interesting. You can find the letter as well all over the place at this point, but something to pay attention to when it comes to violence. Okay, the other big story, the five sites for finalists for the Chicago Casino are out. This is a big story as well because all of the sites are on the south and west sides of Chicago, which has surprised some aldermen.
That's right. So one of the sites is at the former Michael Reese Hospital, and if you remember your Chicago history, the city purchased this site back when former Mayor Richard Daley thought that Chicago was going to get the 2016 Olympics, and that would be part of the Olympic Village. However, it's just been sitting there unused since then, and the city's been paying a lot of money on the money we borrowed to buy it, and that's one of the sites that Lori Lightfoot has asked a consultant to study for feasibility of the Chicago Casino. Now, Alderman Sophia King, who represents that area, was really angry when that came out yesterday. She happened to be sitting in a city council committee meeting, and I grabbed her as she left, and she basically said it would tarnish Bronzeville's image. And of course, Bronzeville is a historic African-American community, which, you know, has deep, deep history with Chicago's African-American art community. And then late yesterday, Alderman Pat Dowell of the 3rd Ward said she didn't want a casino at another one of the sites that Lori Lightfoot asked the consultant to study near, Guaranteed Rate Field. I still have trouble saying that, but Sox Park at Pershing and State. And Alderman Dowell said, look, I've got a commitment for a Pete's Fresh Market to go right there, and that's what my community needs, not a casino. Now, the other two aldermen whose wards included sites were more positive. Alderman Michael Scott on the west side said he would be thrilled to welcome a casino to North Lawndale, to a piece of land at Roosevelt and Costner, which has its own Chicago history. It was used as the dump by FBI mole John Christopher, who, of course, led all of the, you know, led the investigation into Operation Silver Shovel, which sent a whole bunch of aldermen to prison. The other two sites are in the 10th Ward in Alderman Sue Sedlowski-Garza's ward, and she really has been pushing Harborside, which is 111th and the Bishop Ford Freeway right by that golf course. So we'll see what happens. The report has to be finished within 45 days. The mayor says she will conduct a separate site selection process that will include town hall meetings, aldermanic, and public input. But this is sort of the first step toward getting their Chicago casino, which, of course, the city hopes will ease the budget crunch that it is currently facing.
And I've read a lot of stuff on this, and I'm kind of torn because I get the concept of wanting to bring a casino to an area that needs economic development, because casinos will bring jobs, and we heard in the newscast just about infrastructure around it will be improved. But also, at the end of the day, this is a revenue generator for the state and for the city, and frankly, it's a tax. I mean, people go in there and they double down when they shouldn't double down, and they give their money to the casino. And you'll be pulling a lot of locals who will be from the same impoverished communities that this is supposed to help. So I understand a little bit of the concern. And I also wonder why there isn't a site closer to downtown or closer to McCormick Place where tourists and conventioneers would be.
Yeah, it's an interesting, I think a lot of people were surprised that we didn't even see the suggestion of East McCormick Place, which of course there's been proposals to tear down, or the Thompson Center, which the state is trying to sell as soon as possible. And the idea being that why not put it downtown? That's where the tourists already are. Why make them travel to the south or the west side, and, you know, encourage them to keep, like you said, doubling down and never leaving the premises. But there's also concerns that that could hurt the boom that's been going on in downtown Chicago, that could sort of bring an undesirable element to downtown. However, if you think the casino is going to bring an undesirable element to downtown, the question is, why does that make it okay then for the south or the west side?
Right. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. All right. Heather Sharone with us. Our last question, just about ethics reform. It moved through the committees at City Council about really taking on alderman prerogative and changing the way that aldermen have been able to do business in the past. So is this going to move forward? Is this obviously was a huge campaign promise for the mayor, but it seems like there are going to be new rules for how aldermen are going to be able to govern their wards.
That's right. So it faced a little bit of pushback yesterday, not a whole lot, but the real test will come Wednesday when it is in front of the full city council meeting. And what essentially it would do is that it would give the inspector general authority over the city council and over the aldermen. Now, back in 2016, a similar proposal made its way all the way through the committee process into the city council, where it was thwarted by Alderman Ed Burke, who isn't mentioned in any of these, you know, proposals, and is, of course, facing a 14-count racketeering indictment that he has pled not guilty to. But this would really undo what Ed Burke stocked in 2016, and it would also prevent aldermen from serving as attorneys in cases where they're opposing the city, and that could make it that could really curtail Ed Burke's private law practice, which of course is at the heart of the charges that he faces.
So essentially, when we say ethics reform, we really mean the Burke bill. This is really about Alderman Burke.
We do. And of course, it's probably, you know, and we should say, you know, Ed Burke isn't the only alderman facing legal issues. FBI agents raided Terry Austin's 34th Ward office a few weeks ago. We're all waiting to see what will happen with former alderman Danny Solis, who served as a confidential informant for the federal government. We learned last week, with some good reporting from WBEZ and the BGA, that former alderman Mike Zalewski had been also raided by the FBI. Jeez. So there's really no shortage of corruption investigations going on.
Now that's why they say politics the best game in town. Heather Sharone, managing editor for the Daily Line Chicago. Sign up for their newsletter, the first report that comes out first thing in the morning. Heather, thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here. Thanks, Justin.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Purple Rain. coming down in downtown Chicago and all the surrounding areas. These pictures and some of the stuff coming through on the text line, 312-981-7200. It was a pretty intense storm. Downpour out in Wisconsin and also in Sir McHenry County, that area. Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Gozanish from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Also coming up, more on entertainment without the morons. No Steve Cochran and no Dean Richards. Dean's out. I mean, that kind of came across harsh, but I was
I thought that was a little tough. I mean, they don't really... Yeah, it's more on entertainment that they're not really.
Well, they're the official morons, right?
Well, they, yeah,
they, they'll be the first.
They
to
call
you.
Themselves
yeah.
that. Yes,
From love. From it was a place of comes from a place of love.
Yes.
So we'll have Mike Heidemann and Miles,
who's
my
neither,
son Miles.
Neither of whom is a moron.
They will be the honorary today's honorary morons. How about that? From love. It comes from a place of love, Mike. It comes from a place of love. But they'll give us the entertainment report, which is coming up after the 8 o'clock news here on 720 WGN.
The morons.
If there's something strange on your radio, who are you going to call?
The morons.
If there's something stupid and they don't sound good, who you gonna call?
The morons.
Ah, there you go, a John DeCoss original right there.
I ain't afraid of no morons.
I ain't afraid of no morons. This Sunday we play that for Dean Richards, who's gonna be at Ravinia celebrating the 35th anniversary of Ghostbusters with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. Doing the score. That's going to be amazing. Dean doing the pre-concert discussion. You can get tickets at Ravinia.org. You're going to be there, Dave?
I'm not going to be
You're
there.
At Ravinia feels like every weekend.
I was there twice last week, and I was there when Dean did the discussion before West Side Story on Friday night with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. He did a great job, and it was a really great way to spend an evening. I couldn't recommend it enough.
All right. Well, Dean Richards out today. He's got some work to do at WGN-TV. He's on set. So we turn to Junior Dean, who Mike Heidemann, our producer, we call him Junior Dean around here. It's just stuck. It's stuck. That's what we call him every single day.
I wonder why people started calling me that around the office.
Hey, Junior Dean. Good to see you, Mike. All right, so you're taking over with the entertainment report today. Let's start. What's your first story?
Well, I got some big shoes to fill today. So the first story is, Justin, I wanted to see if you had any need for a diffuser or maybe some owl-based t-shirts.
I'm always in the market for an owl-based t-shirt.
Well, rapper Drake is actually set to open up a brand new store in the city's Gold Coast. That's kind of what he goes with. His look is kind of an owl shape logo.
Sure. Why not, right?
I mean, it makes sense, and it goes well with the October's very own OVO, which is set to open a 1,150-foot square foot clothing and accessory store on Number 9 Walton, and that's according to the Tribune.
So this is in the Gold Coast. This is going to be like the hoity-toity stores up on Rush Street and like Oak Street and like all that kind of area?
Yeah. He's joining the Walton Street Kitchen and Bar on the ground floor, so you can get all of your, you can get a good bite to eat.
Do you know if it's a full-on Drake's going to be a part of Chicago, or is it like the Louis Vuitton pop-up in the West Loop where like a month later it's gone and all that's left is the orange building?
I was thinking that because, you know, the Yeezy shop popped up, and they do a lot of these stores that are happening in Chicago. What I do know is OVO has 7 other locations: Los Angeles, New York, London, and 4 in Canada, of course. So I don't think that he's going to be as hands-on in the Chicago store. Who knows how long it'll last? I looked on the website. There aren't a lot of accessory items and t-shirts that you can buy. So I don't think it's going to become the next Walmart, but you never know what's going to happen.
You know what I would like, and I think this is, Dave Ennett will go in with me on this, but if we can get those baggy pants from the cell phone video, you know, he's like, call me on the cell phone, and he's doing that dance, he's got the sweater and the baggy pants. If we can get that, you and I go in on that, I'll take the sweater, you take the baggy pants.
Isn't that kind of like the sumo wrestler outfit?
Yeah, same style.
You
same
have?
Style, yeah. I just feel like that would be what, if you're going over there.
You know, I think they do half off the first week. Yeah.
Really? And let me guess, it's going to be one of those stores where you walk in, you're like, this sweater I could get at Old Navy for $12, but I'm glad this one's $350. Right? It'll be that kind of thing?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely.
What else you got?
So another thing that's happening this week here in Chicago, if you're not, if you take your time away from the Drake store, you can head over to Union Park and see the Pitchfork Music Festival, which is happening.
Yes.
Celebrating 14 years.
It's going to be hot out there.
Oh, it's going to be nice and toasty. They actually have some heat warnings on their website. They're very thoughtful when it comes to that. Since 2006, this independently run music festival has showcased over 60,000 attendees every single year from 45 states and 26 countries. So
I haven't heard much about Pitchfork this year. Usually, maybe it's me because I'm not in those circles anymore. But
I was going to say, did we age out recently?
Yeah, we might have aged out.
Well, it's funny.
I feel
you
the
say
same
that.
Way though.
There weren't a lot of big headliners. Like now, you're seeing with a lot of these music festivals. There's the 10-year reunions, or we're bringing back this band, or look who we have coming back from the dead, or some, I don't know, something
yeah, right,
like that.
Right.
But this year, it's kind of a little bit more low key, and that's it fits very well with the Pitchfork culture. There's headliners like Robin. We have Whitney, Charlie XCX.
Whitney from Chicago.
Whitney from Chicago. Yeah, right. And who was on the
yeah, it was
the
on the download back in the day. That's right. That's great. I love that festival. It's in Union Park. Jen already rolled out the traffic. I live real close by there, and you can hear it muffled. So what I like to do is go on my back porch and hear this.
Yeah, the white noise.
It's not even a beat. It's just a full static. Like, it gives you, like, a soundtrack of static. Of, that's it.
So, wait a second. Is this for real? Mavis Staples and the Isley Brothers?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, okay, now that shows age. I'll go for that.
Yeah, right.
There are some big names on it. But it's such a comfortable culture that they create and a good vibe for Pitchfork. You get to overlook and see the chapel in the distance. So, it's
nice.
A really great place. But while I'm here, I thought I could mix it up a little bit.
Okay.
And we have the Cats guests coming on the show
that's
later.
That's right, from the Broadway musical coming up later.
So, I thought it'd be the perfect time to introduce my brand new game, character from the musical Cats or Pitchfork band, something that I'm referring to as hipster or hairball.
There you go. There you go, Mike. Mike did the work.
So
I hope you're listening, Dean Richards. Mike did the work. All right, what do we got here?
So, Miles, if you want to jump on this too, and Joe, of
Hello.
Course, I'm going to give you the name of either a Cats musical character or Pitchfork band, and you just tell me which one you think it is, hairball or hipster. Grizzabella.
Grizzabella.
Hairball.
You say hairball?
Okay.
Yes, hairball.
Yeah, hairball.
I think cats.
You think cats?
Yeah.
You are correct.
Yeah.
Cats musical.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding. Maybe I underestimated you guys.
Sounds like a tiger, like a lion.
Oh, a lion? Okay. Yeah. I can feel you. All right, how about grape tooth?
That's
grape
tricky.
Tooth?
Grape tooth.
Like a grape, like a fruit.
Yes, or like a cat, maybe.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty hard.
I say that's a band.
That sounds hipster.
Hipster?
Yeah. I'm going with cat.
I'm going with hairball.
Joe?
Hairball.
That is a hipster. Grapetooth playing tonight at the Pitchfork Music Festival. Go and check out Grapetooth. All right, one last one.
Such strange names.
Right?
Yeah.
Old Deuteronomy.
Hairball.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you came in confident with that
one. Oh,
yeah,
you did. I'll stay with what Miles says.
Yeah, no, hairball.
It's hairball.
Hipster.
there we go, Joe. Actually, it's math problem from high school. Oh, sorry, I mean hairball.
All right.
Cats musical. So, thank you.
I've heard of that before, so I think it's from Cats.
Yeah, he's one of the more famous characters
to be honest, I've never seen the musical.
I'm with you. I wouldn't have known that.
All right,
let's do this. Let's take a break. We'll come back more with More on Entertainment, special edition with Michael Heidemann here on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Lexi Black, who's one of the cast members of Cats, waiting in the PPG Paints green room. They'll be on with us after the 8:30 news. Right now, More on Entertainment, sponsored by Ravinia, without Dean Richards or Steve Cochran. Honorary morons, Michael Heidemann, Miles Kaufman. Sorry, Miles. All right, Mike, what do you got for your last story here?
So, you know, a lot of people out there like this little band called the Beatles.
Yeah, right.
And but did you know that Paul McCartney has secretly been penning away It's a Wonderful Life musical?
Of course he is.
Who doesn't love that movie, too? The 1946 Frank Capra film. It's a classic. Paul kind of got the inspiration. He kind of did some writings when he created a movie and an album called Give My Regards to Broad Street back in the day. And now with all of these movies coming out and the biopics of all these great musicians, I guess Paul kind of felt the need to put his pen to the paper.
With all his extra time. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, the Rolling Stones fall in this category, but Paul McCartney, he just plays and plays and plays.
Mm-hmm.
And you go to see his show, it's dynamic, and he's doing 2.5 hours of Beatles hits.
Every single night.
Every single night. Where does this guy have any time?
And he's been doing that since he was 20 years old, too, wow. Which is bizarre to even think about.
What a talent.
So he actually teamed up with writer Lee Hall, who was responsible for Billy Elliot, the Rocket Man screenplay, and producer Bill Kenwright to report and to put all these things to paper. And it's going to be coming out hopefully in 2020. I don't know about you, but Justin, but I really want to see this musical. This sounds amazing.
It's Paul McCartney, right?
Yeah. And
yeah.
Who's going to play, who do you think is going to play?
Who's going to play the
Jimmy Stewart.
Jimmy Stewart role?
Yeah.
For one of the Avengers, that's my guess. It's all of Hollywood in that. That's one of the Avengers.
So yeah.
That's probably
Chris Pine or something like that, probably.
All right. To wrap up our special Moron Entertainment, Miles Coffin, my son, who's here for Take Your Son to Work Day. What do you got? The San Diego Comic-Con is underway, and a lot of great comic book and pop culture stuff happening.
Yeah. The 2019 San Diego Comic-Con is currently going on as of June 18th.
July 18th, yeah.
July 18th. Sure. I'm sorry.
That's all right. That's today.
oops.
That's all right.
So, my favorite show, or one of my favorite shows, Steven Universe, is getting a movie in late fall, rumored to be October, and they are getting a lot of posters and movie trailers
So, a movie, this will be on Cartoon Network.
Yes, it will be on Cartoon Network.
Not in the theaters.
It doesn't go in theaters.
And
it's
who are the stars of that show? Who's on that show?
Estelle.
The musician, yeah.
Yes, Christine Ebersole.
Oh, okay.
Am I saying that right?
Yeah, that's right. She's a Broadway star.
Patti LuPone.
Another Broadway star. Wow, interesting.
Chance the Rapper.
This is actually the cast of It's a Wonderful Life, the Paul McCartney musical.
Chance the Rapper, huh? He's going to be in the movie?
He's producing it. And
Wow.
I did not know that. There
this
you go. Chance the Rapper.
Pretty big cast of characters.
Yeah, that's a great show, Steven Universe, and it's a big, big hit in the Comic-Con circuit. We
it
went
is
to the
C2E2.
It was all over the place. And to know that Chance the Rapper's involved, that's interesting. All right, and what else you got? One more?
As of July 11th, season 4 of YouTube's original longest original series, Escape the Night, has put out its fourth season. It is a murder mystery reality show that has the likes of Timothy De La Ghetto, Lele Pons, Alex Wasabi, Matthew Patrick, and Rosanna Cancino.
Okay.
All in the murder mystery.
Well, who are they?
Complex. They're YouTubers from YouTube.
So YouTubers doing a reality sort of murder mystery show on YouTube, fourth season.
Yes.
Just came out. I did not know that.
Wow. Just for everybody who can't see Miles right now, he's not reading that.
No, he just
knows these names.
That was crazy that you should rattle off those names. I also feel really delinquent in my parenting, so that I'm not familiar with what you're watching.
This show is created by Joey Graceffa, who is one of the most, he's not the most famous, but he's like famous.
Of the YouTubers?
In YouTube. Yes.
Is that free to watch, or do you have to have a YouTube subscription?
The first three seasons and the first episode of season 4 are free. The rest of the episodes are only YouTube Premium.
Mm-hmm. And have you watched them all?
I've watched them all up to season 4, episode 1.
Okay, good. So you're not putting out any sort of card or anything like that.
No,
signing up for premium without my knowledge. Great, good to know.
This season 4 is the all-star season, which introduces all of the characters who died in previous seasons are back for more.
Okay.
Is this a show targeted towards like the preteen teenage demographic, or is this something?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Wow. All right, there you go. What's it called again?
Escape the Night.
Escape
Joey
the
Graceffa.
Night. And that is on YouTube, Dave Bennett.
So just I watched Big Bang Theory last night. What do I know?
All right, well, there you go. An honorary Moron Entertainment today with Michael Heidemann and Miles Coffman as Dean Richardsoff and Steve Cochran, of course. Dean will be back tomorrow here on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
720 WGN, Justin Coffman in for Steve Cochran this morning. Dave Ennett, Jen DeSalvo, Steve Guzanich here. Coming up, we're going to talk cats. Local cast member, Lexi Plass, she was born in Elmhurst, grew up in the Libertyville area. Talk with her about her career on stage. She's playing a role in the new, I keep wanting to call it a revival. It's not. I mean, it's a touring production of Cats. They just have done...
Like Cats.
Yeah.
The Second Life.
Yeah.
Or two
of the
of
nine line. Yeah,
I don't
something
know.
Something like that. I hope you're having as much of a sane commute as you possibly can. As Jen just said, gridlock on the expressways The numbers you were throwing out earlier, and we were jumped right into the entertainment report, were staggering for the Ike to be an hour and 15. You say it's now down to like an hour and 7, but still.
Oh boy, 8 minutes in the just long scheme of things.
I feel like there was so much emphasis made today, last night and into this morning, about the heat.
Uh-huh.
Here come the heat. This is what you do. It almost feels like the storm snuck up on us.
I think it did.
You know, it was one of those things that I'm sure it was forecasted, but this idea that nobody was paying attention to it, and it is snarling the traffic and making it really difficult for the morning commute.
Well, it seems like a good idea, you know, for a public service announcement, you know, make sure your headlights are on and even your hazards. You know, somebody called in and said, it's raining so hard that, people should have their hazards on.
Yeah. It's the worst.
Yeah, and even downtown, we're getting some thunder and lightning. I should have brought my thunder shirt to work today.
You have a thunder shirt?
You nervous, Steve?
A little bit. Some of these flashes of lightning behind me, I just, I'd rather like to be watching the storm. Not
that's the red light camera at Columbus.
Yeah, right.
Oh, is that what that was?
Oh, no, yeah. No, no.
It did look like a strobe before.
We've seen some forked pieces of lightning come down.
Yeah. Speaking of lightning, Jen, this is a crazy story. Tell your story, what just happened. I hate to put you on the spot.
No, it just happened during the last segment. Husband was taking the dog to dog day camp.
Sure.
Forgot her lunch. And she's still little, so she needs a lunch. Goes home.
So,
and
like, you pack it up, like you're packing up an 8-year-old's like little carrot sticks and goldfish.
Put it in a little Ziploc bag, and I write her name Daisy on it and give it to the handlers.
Yeah. That's not the story, but that's great.
Yeah, so
we'll do 20 minutes on that.
He goes home to get the lunch, and as he's pulling up next to the house across the street, the tree right in the middle of the intersection gets struck by lightning and starts on fire.
Wow.
And like just pieces of fire falling on the ground.
Have you heard from him since? Because just right before we went to air, you said, and I'm waiting for a response. Are you okay? Nothing response.
Yeah. He finally wrote back. He says that he's at work. He's okay. Soaking wet. He's there safely, though, and nothing happened. None of the homes caught on fire. The tree didn't burn or anything. It was just a few of the leaves at the top.
It's summertime in Chicago, and there are so many ways that the weather can wreak havoc. And this is one where we're going from pretty hazardous weather conditions to pretty hazardous weather conditions. I mean, it just seems like that's going to be the story of the next 3 days.
And with these fires, even the Chicago Fire Department has to switch out the firefighters more quickly because of heat exhaustion.
Right.
You know, and they're wearing all of that equipment, and there's a ton of fires. We'll see more car fires. We're going to see a lot of blowouts on the area roadways with this heat. Mm-hmm. So make sure your tires are properly inflated. If they're too heavy, they're going to go boom. That's not fun.
Well, there you go. So, okay. Well, we'll obviously keep you up to date all day today here on 720 WGN as the weather moves out, the rain moves out, and as Steve Grzanich just said, still wreaking havoc in some of the western counties. But we'll be all over it all day. I'm actually back tonight. I'm doing extension 720. So we'll keep you updated because I know that by tonight it'll start to, you know, some of the heat will start to happen. But it doesn't look like it's going to get treacherous till tomorrow, right? I mean, it's still gonna be nine.
Heat wise,
yeah. But someone texted in and said, you know, people work outside. Anything over 85 degrees is treacherous.
Yeah.
So I hate to say it like that, but the point being that the excessive heat watch and the idea of getting close to 100, that's not planned till tomorrow, and as Paul Conrad said, not till maybe Saturday.
And the thing you have to remember, too, is after the storms pass through, we're expecting sun to come out later this afternoon. And as soon as that happens, you're going to see the heat and the humidity just spike.
That is the official sound of Chicagoland area today. All right, we'll take a break here. We'll come back. Let's talk a little White Sox baseball. And then coming up, we will have the cast member from Cats and also the chancellor from the University of Illinois Illini Fest is downtown today in Millennium Park. Talk about the alumni. I'm always amazed. The Big Ten obviously has such a footprint for a lot of alumni that come back to Chicago or come to live here. You see from all the Big Ten schools, including the ones here. But the University of Illinois is dominant in terms of all the people who went to Champaign who come and live in Chicago. So we'll talk about Illini Fest, which is coming up in Millennium Park this afternoon. So all that coming up.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
We're talking baseball. Klazuski, Campanella, talking baseball. The man and Bobby Feller, the scooter, the barber and the nuke.
Oh, I love that song. I love also it gets to 80s baseball players later in the verses. They're like, talking about Daryl Porter and others really great. Steve Cochran Show, Justin Kaufman in for Steve today. Dave Bennett, Jen DeSalvo, Steve Grzanich with me. Coming up, the chancellor from the University of Illinois, Dr. Robert Jones, will join us. And also, a cast member from Cats, Lexi Plath, will be here. Steve, let's have our Sox report today. We haven't talked about the White Sox. Six-game losing streak.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tough way to start the second half of the season.
Well, especially the way they ended the first half.
Yeah.
So I think you looked at the second half, and you got the extra boost from Giolito's all-star performance and McCann's. And, you know, it seemed like, okay, it was going to be a tough series in Oakland. Everybody knew that. Oakland had been playing well also.
And as Ed told us in the broadcast, the Sox have been swept out of the Oakland Coliseum 3 years in a row.
Yeah. I mean, I think they've got one win there in their last three trips there, something like that. But still, you're going to Kansas City for four.
Yeah.
They've played well against Kansas City all year. They have Giolito going in that first game in Kansas City. He didn't pitched terribly. He had a kind of a shaky start there, but you know, it just things kind of they never got going. And then the next night, Cease again, he had a shaky start. Jimenez gets hurt, but it just seems like, you know, if you're gonna look at one thing aside from just getting absolutely thrashed in Oakland there for a couple of games, they haven't played good defense, and this has been something that we saw going back to early in the year.
You know, they're getting outscored as well. I mean, and a part of that is the defense. You saw them lose that game in Oakland where they threw the ball away, and it was just you don't like to see Major League Baseball games end that
Which,
way.
Which, by the way, was a game they were tied. They had a chance in that game
but
after getting blown out.
Because of the games, like losing to the Royals 11-0, they lost, I think it was 13-3 or something, whatever, 13-4 to the A's. They're getting trounced. I think before last night's game, they were being outscored 37-7 or something over those six games. So you're right on the defensive side, but their bats are not producing as well. Eloy Jimenez hits the IL, but it doesn't seem like the team is doing anything well at this point.
They're not getting the good at bats they were getting earlier. Yeah. Maybe that's a function of when you're in a losing streak, everybody's trying to do a little more, but they don't need that right now.
I mean, you've covered baseball your entire career.
Yep.
How important is it for a young team to have a losing streak? I know that sounds stupid, but you know, for them, they have to get over. You talk about this in the minors all the time. Yeah. They're like, we need to see some adversity. Right?
Yeah, you do. I mean, they had the one. It's interesting. You go back early in the year and remember they won their home opener, and then they lost the next five on that homestand. They got swept by the team that they're playing tomorrow night, Tampa Bay. They're playing them on the road. But, you know, after that, they started to play better. So maybe it is something. I think the thing that would help them the most is get Tim Anderson back.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's still no formal timetable on when that's going to happen. He's back taking BP, and hopefully it's not too far in the future. But I think losing him, you can kind of overlook that as being a pretty big factor for them, considering he was really their first half MVP.
He was hitting 400 for a while there.
Yeah.
All right, so the one thing that, as a Sox fan, always it kind of throws me about being in a rebuild, because they are in a rebuild, we forget that, because they get closer to 500, they have a run, and we're like, maybe we could do this. And as you see, and you said in the cast, you see the Twins are falling off now. The Indians are surging. But what gets me is the lack of, I don't know if it's a lack of depth is the right word for it, but there was one point where the White Sox rotation was just three starters. You saw, in the case with Tim Anderson on the shelf, Lourie Garcia, the center fielder, comes in to play shortstop. They signed off the street Ryan Goins, the former.
He played shortstop last night for.
Yeah, but this idea that it seems Russ Detweiler is on the team, like these names that come
These are not guys who are part of the rebuild.
Right. So is that the idea that they're just biding time at a certain point?
Well, I mean, at some point, you have to find bodies to put out there. And Goins was having a nice year at Triple-A for him. I mean, he's basically a journeyman. As far as plugging holes in the rotation, I mean, they've tried Dylan Covey a couple times. And he was the guy who started that 13-2 game over
the Super
weekend.
Joe mentioned as well, Irvin Santana didn't work out. They thought he was going to be a five starter.
Right.
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 Omar Despagne.
Yeah.
Omar Despagne, you.
So, I mean, sometimes it's just a matter of, hey, can you get a guy to get us through this the rotation this week, and you know, maybe we'll get somebody back.
Well, it's hard. I think it's hard for White Sox fans and people texting in as well, just about you want to be patient with a rebuild because you know how important it is, and this team is so, the future looks so bright. You just want to see, instead of going to a journeyman to play to plug a hole, bring these guys up. Instead, what we see is Zach Collins going back down. He has some struggles. He goes down. You want to
see
these guys.
Well, you got Castillo back.
Yeah.
But he was 2-for-26, 2-for-27 at the time. And I don't think we should overlook the fact that Reynaldo Lopez has not been the consistent pitcher. And you know, early in the year, he had that 14 strikeout game? And I mean, he really hasn't been able to duplicate or even come close to anything like that since then. And this is a guy they were counting on heavily. Probably expected more out of him than Giolito starting the year.
Yeah.
Right? Based on last year.
Right. So, well, let's do that. Let's hope that, you know, obviously today they got a game in Kansas City. They go to Tampa over the weekend. They're back in Chicago starting on Monday. They get a lot of opportunities here for them to turn it around.
Well,
so
they can. I mean, that's been one thing about this team. They have been resilient. And I think Steve Stone was the first guy I heard say it. Even in the first half, he said, this is going to be a tough road trip to start the second half. And I'm thinking, well, I don't know. I mean, Oakland, yeah, that's tough, and Tampa Bay's tough, but you do have the four with the Royals in between. Okay, sometimes it doesn't work that way.
Sometimes it doesn't work that way. Story of, well, it's my life. All right, 312-981-7200 and the Chicago
White
Sox.
Wouldn't be that rough on yourself.
Yeah. All right, coming up, like I said, we've got the Chancellor from the University of Illinois and a cast member from Cats. The Steve Cochran Show here on 720 WGN. Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Rzanich from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
La, la, la. 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman in for Steve Cochran. Welcome to CLTV as well as 720 WGN. Dave Ennett, Jen DeSalvo, and Steve Rzanich here. Also in the studio, you may recognize this voice. You want to play kind of a radio game for this next guest?
Oh, that's
so
a great idea.
You can just say something, say what you had for breakfast or something, to see if people recognize this voice.
Hi, everyone. I had coffee for breakfast.
Andrea Darlis.
WGN.
There she is. Hi, Andrea. How are you?
Hey, Justin, Dave, Jen, Steve. I missed you guys. Love you guys.
AD.
Hi, everyone at CLTV.
There you go. Andrea here because, of course, if you're downtown in Chicago today, you may be aware or questioning why there's so much blue and orange all over downtown. It's because today is Illini Fest in Millennium Park, an awesome display of the alumni and the presence of the University of Illinois in Chicago. There are going to be all sorts of people there. It's expected 3,000 people. It's actually from 3 to 6 p.m., so it's right before the heat kind of takes over. It's a perfect thing to do this afternoon. Illini Fest, that's going to have Coach Lovie Smith going to be there, as well as the Chancellor, Robert Jones, who's in studio with us. Dr. Jones, thanks for being here.
Thank you. It's my great honor to be here.
Okay, and also, I also want to say Eric Miner's here, Chief Marketing Officer, and Andrea, of course. Everybody's here. You guys have all come up from Champaign, Urbana, to make the trek to Chicago. But let's talk about this. Why Illini Fest? Why Chicago?
Well, we are trying to remind people that we have more than 200,000 alums in this great city. And we feel that oftentimes we don't spend enough time making sure our alums understand and have a chance to brag and boast about their university being physically present here, because, you know, we're kind of anchored in Urbana-Champaign, but because of our land-grant mission, we have an obligation to be all over the state of Illinois. And from my perspective as chancellor, and from Eric's perspective as the chief marketing officer, we have to have more visibility here in the city of Chicago. We've got to brag and we've got to boast. And we have to remind people that we are the land-grant university for the state. And just to also remind folks, we are the original Big Ten University, not only for the
sounds
state,
like parting shot there,
but,
Dave.
Which includes the city of Chicago.
Well, Eric, do you think people forget that? You know, because I grew up in the Chicago area, and I know the presence of the University of Illinois, but there's a lot of competition because the Big Ten has so many schools in the Midwest that feed into Chicago. When people are done at the school, they come become residents of the city of Chicago. So do you have to remind people of the presence of the University of Illinois here?
Well, we're going to do that
today and in the future. Most of the students will go to the University of Illinois out of the state of Illinois, so they know about it, but we're just reminding everybody else, and we're getting them excited. You know, we're bringing it to them from Champaign-Urbana. We're bringing it to Chicago. I'm just going to celebrate.
Is it easy, Andrea? Is it easy to get people excited about University of Illinois?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, and you know what? When I took the job here at the University of Illinois, people were emailing, you know, just Dana Kozlov, Ryan Baker, Tom Tunney, Carlos Ramirez Rosa. They're all going to be there today, too. But just people saying, hey, I went there. I'm an alum. You know, it's a who's who, basically, in Chicago of alums from the University of Illinois. So it makes you very proud. Very proud.
Well, the Illini Fest is at Park Grill Plaza. It's from 3 to 6 p.m. today. Food, drinks, entertainment. As many as 3,000 people expected to attend. And like I said, the chancellor will be there as well as Coach Lovie Smith. A lot of people are going to know the University of Illinois because of the athletics program, and obviously they get big billing when it comes to football and basketball. But the school itself, when we talk about it being the center of a network of schools in the in the state of Illinois, how important is it for you guys to be known academically as well as for your athletics?
Well, it's critically important. In fact, that is one of the things that we are very well known for is our academic programs. You know, we're very, very proud of the fact that even though we play space down in Urbana-Champaign, we produce 23 Nobel laureates, a lot of the contemporary companies that are at the top of the mind for any generations, not only just in young generations, you know, from PayPal to YouTube to Tesla. You name it. That university has played a role in shaping those businesses that serve society. And I'm oftentimes state the expression that no matter wherever you are in this ever-changing world, you literally can't go a day without being influenced or having the opportunity to benefit from some innovation that came out of Illinois. And it's just amazing to us that more people are not aware of the contribution that this state public research university has made to the state and to the nation, and Illini Fest and all the other things that we're doing are part of that effort to try to kind of rebrand the university and so that it becomes top of the mind of people not only in the state but across the nation and across the world.
Let's do this. Let's take a break so we can stay on time, because I want to talk to you not only about public funding. We saw out of Springfield for the first time a package for colleges. We want to talk about tuition and other issues that are facing higher education. Chancellor Jones in studio from the University of Illinois. Eric Miner as well, Chief Marketing Officer. Andrea Darlis, she used to work at GN, I think. Not sure how that worked.
I still dabble.
She's got this big fancy title now with the University of Illinois, which no one can remember.
When we come back, it'll be memories, Andre and Dave memories.
Yeah, we're just going to talk about old times.
Right. He'll call me Angelo. We'll have good. We'll reminisce.
Can we have you announce the show?
I'll start it. Right? Yeah,
there you go.
When we come back,
Illini Fest this afternoon, 3 to 6 at the Park Grill Plaza in Millennium Park.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Illini Fest coming up. Today, 3 to 6 at the Park Grill in Millennium Park. If you see a lot of people walking around with blue and orange, it's not some sort of cooling clothing. It's the colors for the University of Illinois. In studio, Chancellor Robert Jones, Dr. Robert Jones, Eric Miner, who's the Chief Marketing Officer, and Andrea Darlis in her new capacity as the what is your title? What's your official title?
My title, Dave. You want to tell people my title?
It's got something to do with engagement.
Yes, senior director of constituent engagement.
Oh, that's nice. Well, let's talk about something. And since we have the brass up in Chicago in studio this morning, let's talk about some of the issues for University of Illinois. First, I'm always interested. Let's talk about the state. The state has had a couple of years, more than a couple now, where they just stopped funding higher education. And we've seen that passed on in tuition and other places. But there was a big issue that the state of Illinois was not funding any of the higher education universities and colleges in the area. That's changed under Governor Pritzker. A package came out of Springfield this spring. What does that mean for you? Do you need the money from the state? And when you get it, what do you do with it?
Well, we certainly need the resources because I think people will recall that over the last decade, we have not had a complete capital budget. That didn't stop us from building the necessary buildings that were required for us to move our agenda forward. But now with the, you know, basically $1.9 billion that we've received for the state. And we're very pleased that $394 million of that is coming to Urbana-Champaign to drive some of the projects that's going to really help position this university to be at the top of the innovation chain as it relates to everything from quantum computing, which is going to be taking this world by storm, and through a partnership with the University of Chicago. We want the epicenter for that to be right here in Chicago, right, in the state of Illinois. So it's going to be transformative, and there are a lot of other projects in, that involves AI, data sciences, which we also must be a leader on. But it provides support for things that are not necessarily glamorous. We have probably about $500 million or so in deferred maintenance, and the money that we got for that part of our budget as well is going to be absolutely critically important to take care of health and safety issues on campus as well. So this is huge, yeah, for us. We haven't had a budget this big all around in quite some time.
What, when we talk about tuition, and obviously people paying attention to the kids that are going to the University of Illinois or any Illinois schools, they think about how much it's going to cost. There has been such a push you've seen in this election cycle from candidates to say, hey, we should have free tuition. We should have college for everybody, universal free student debt forgiveness, all that kind of stuff. When it comes to how much of that is happening right now, how much when it comes to scholarships and other programs and projects that you're doing at the university, are kids in the state of Illinois getting free education?
It's a higher percentage that are basically attending and graduating with little or no debt, is one way of looking at it. And we are very proud that our university, University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, has one of the highest, the highest percentage of folks that graduate with no debt among our peers. And those that graduate with debt on average is about 24,000, 4,000 to 5,000 less than the national average. And so we work very hard on that front, notwithstanding the required increases in tuition that we had to pass on because of the change in the funding models from the state. But at the same time, we worked on the other end to keep it affordable by helping students to in multiple ways through scholarships and other forms of financial aid afford an education. And what's great about that is that students graduate from our university, they go on and to remarkable careers, and on average they make higher salaries starting out than if they were graduating from another university in our peer group. So yeah, we're very, very proud of that. But keeping education accessible and affordable, and it's the fact that tuition has risen so much of late, why all the political rhetoric now about free tuition, right, et cetera. But we're doing our part and trying to innovate in our own way in that regard.
I always think about it because you'll get a pushback because as college becomes more expensive across the board, not just University of Illinois, but everywhere, private, right, schools everywhere, you see a lot of parents that'll say, I'm willing to invest this money in my child's future, but they're getting out of college and there's no guarantee that they're going to get into the field that they studied. I mean, this an issue that I had when I was in the 90s has been exacerbated now in 2019, where studies come out where it becomes some are even questioning whether or not we need a college education. What do you do when it comes to competition to sell the University of Illinois against that notion, against the idea that people think college is too expensive?
Well, we work very hard to make sure people understand that notwithstanding some of the dialogue and rhetoric going on, a college education is still the best path forward for the majority, I think, of our college-going population. The data clearly supports that. And I think people have to get away from the notion of getting a degree, you go to work in that field, and you do that till you retire. Our students change jobs 4, 5, 6 times in the course, right, of a decade, let alone a career. So the world has dramatically changed where you're not preparing students exactly for a particular career, but preparing them to be critical thinkers and giving them the skill set to not only be prepared for other jobs that others are creating, but be a source of innovation that creates the jobs for the future. That's the role of a public land grant university, and something I think we do extremely
well. There's so many things that we could talk about, and we're out of time, but we could talk about the 78, which is the University of Illinois has a big part of. We talked about that a little bit with the partnership with with the University of Chicago. We could talk about just, you know, the competition for not just students in-state, mm-hmm. but the continuing competition for foreign students to come to, international students to come in, which has seen, I've seen studies that that's waned a little bit. You saw a boom of Asian students coming to the University of Illinois, and that's kind of leveled off. So we'll talk about that at some other point. Next time sure. you guys come into yeah. town, if that works. Eric Miner, Chancellor Robert Jones, and Andrea Darlis. Great to see you, Andrea. I'm spoiled here at the station because I get to see Andrea every Monday night because she does the reporter show, the round table, and I'm on right after her. But the guys like Dave and Jen and Steve, they never get to see her. So
I see her once in a while.
Oh, once in a while. We'll go have dinner and reminisce.
Yeah, right. No, Illini Fest is it's this afternoon, 3 to 6, Park Grill and Millennium Park, going down for the University of Illini alumni. But anybody can go, and it's going to be not just the brass at the university, but Coach Lovie Smith will be there and others celebrating the University of Illinois and its contributions to Chicago. That's coming up today, 3 to 6, Park Grill.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Midnight, not a sound from the pavement.
Right, memories.
As the moon lost her memory.
720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman in for Steve Cochran this morning. Jen DeSalvo here, Dave Bennett, as well as Steve Grzanich. Cats is doing the touring engagement of Cats is at the Nederlander Theater through August 4th. This unbelievable musical, Andrew Lloyd Webber musical, has been seen by over 73 million people. This is one of the most successful Broadway shows in Broadway history, and it is on stage in Chicago, revamped in a way because there's new choreography, there's new lighting design, there's new sound, and of course the same story that everybody knows so well. Cats, Lexi Platt, that plays, am I getting it right, Bamba Larina? Did I get it right? There we go. Lexi is actually has roots in Chicago. She grew up here, Elmhurst and in Libertyville, and she's my guest in studio this morning. Lexi, great to see you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So let's get it. What did you know about Cats? As someone who is in Broadway and as an actress, what did you know about the musical before you got involved?
Well, it was the first show I ever saw when I was 7, I think. I saw the touring production in Milwaukee, and I was completely enamored by it. It was like my first experience in a real theater, and I grew up with the VHS tape of the London recording. Pretty sure I wore out that tape. So it was kind of my first experience in musical theater, and I guess pretty much inspired my whole career from that point on.
What is for you to be in the show and to have such a large role with that as your background? What is it like to be such a fan of it and then be on stage in front of it?
Yeah, it's pretty magical. There are moments when I'm on stage where I'm like, I can't believe this is my life. But yeah, it's pretty much a dream come true, which sounds cliche, but it really is.
So for you, let's get into your career, because you know, in reading your bio, you talk about at such a young age getting involved in theatrical arts, whether it be mm-hmm. tap or dance or theater. But this has been a lifelong pursuit for you. So at an early age in the Chicago area, you're taking tap classes. You're starting to recognize that you have an interest in the arts. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, my grandma owns a dance studio in the Wisconsin area, so my parents were always commuting back and forth between Chicago and the Milwaukee suburbs to that studio. So I kind of grew up in the arts. My mom's a dance teacher. Both my sisters are in dance. So kind of started off as a dancer and then always loved to sing, which my mom didn't know what to do with because she's just a dancer. And so they got me into voice lessons and kind of just started to develop a passion for all three, dancing, singing, and acting. Did my first musical in high school, which was Cats, ironically.
It's a whole Cats
played
thing
the same role I'm playing now. So wow. It's like, yeah, kind of
serendipitous.
How many Broadway actresses can say that they had the chance, they did the high school musical, and now they're in the actual production?
Yeah, it was
crazy.
Kind of full circle.
Yeah.
But then I was in my high school's Broadway company, so I did a bunch of musicals through them, and then I went to college at Western Michigan, mm-hmm. where I majored in musical theater. And then from there, we did a showcase for a bunch of agents in New York and casting directors. And from that, I booked my first tour, which was Anything Goes.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of took off from there.
There's always, when you talk about, you know, even going to college for musical theater, there's a moment when you stop being a kid and you become an adult, and you stop being an amateur and you become a professional. Mm-hmm. There's a lot in that soup, right? There's a lot that can happen at that point. Yeah. With all the adversity and everything that goes into trying to transition into a professional career, was it difficult? Was it challenging? Or was it just sort of easy for you to jump into being a professional?
I mean, I've been very fortunate. It was a pretty easy transition for me. I did a couple professional theater jobs while I was in college over the summers. So that helped me learn about the business, first off. Mm-hmm. And also, I learned so much from my directors. A lot of them, I worked at Timberlake Playhouse in Mount Carroll, Illinois for 2 summers. So a lot of the directors there are Chicago-based, and I learned so much from my fellow actors there. And I think everything I learned about the business side of theater, I learned through doing that summer stock experience. Wow. In college.
That's great to hear. Yeah.
Yeah. So then, using that knowledge that I gained from that and from school, obviously, it just kind of seemed easy to move over and... Yeah.
I love it. Lexi Plath, she plays Bombalurina in the show Cats, which is at the Niederlander Theater right here at Randolph and State Street. It's running through August 4th. Okay, we'll take a break and we'll come back. We'll continue the conversation with Lexi here on The Cochran Show.
Back to The Steve Cochran Show.
Talking about Cats here on the Steve Cochran Show. Lexi Plath in studio. She plays Bombalurina in the touring production of Cats, which is at the Niederlander Theater, running through August 4th. I have to say, it's fun because I have not seen Cats. I've never seen the show. But everybody knows the interaction part of it, the interactive part where they jump in. And Dave was just talking in the break.
Not everybody knows it when they go into the theater. At least I didn't. And I saw it years ago, I think, when it first played in Chicago. And, I mean, this was like pre-Broadway in Chicago. It was a touring company, I think. And it was here for a long time. But I had seats.
Like, they're close
right
to the
on
stage.
The aisle, near the stage. I was right on the aisle.
You're in the prime zone.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, I feel something on my leg. And I look, and there's a cat. And I had no idea that was going to happen.
At this point, 73 million people have seen the show, but when, you know, are there still audience members that are surprised by...
Oh, yeah, we get screamers all the time. Yeah, we'll be running down the aisle, and people will jump, they'll scream, and then everyone starts laughing, and the whole audience, it's great.
I just want to know, and I did not scream, I was surprised.
We only have like 2 minutes left, but for this, when I say it's Andrew Lloyd Webber, and it is the original production, but there are a lot of revamped parts of this, new mm-hmm. lighting, new sound. Is it the same Cats that Dave saw years ago in Chicago?
It is and it's not. We have a lot of new choreography from Andy Blankenbuehler, who's kind of revamped the show for a modern audience. So it kind of has updated the 80s-ness of it a little bit. But every iconic move that you remember is still there. Yeah, the story is the same. The music is the same. Just kind of refreshed a little bit.
And so my final question for you just as someone who grew up in the Chicago area and had such a life of reflecting or a life consuming Cats, mm-hmm. to be in it in Chicago, because this is a tour and you've been in many different cities now, what's it mean to you as a professional actress to have the opportunity to do Cats right here in downtown Chicago?
It's awesome. I'm pretty sure I have someone coming to like every single show, which is just great, and also exhausting, but great. Yeah, it's pretty magical. I mean, yeah, my whole family is coming several times, so it's just nice to be close to home and be able to bring it back here.
Well, the show is at the Niederlander Theater. It's running through August 4th. Lexi Plath, who grew up in the Chicago area, it plays Bombalurina in the show Cats, which is, like I said, Niederlander Theater at Randolph and State, running through August 4th. Lexi, thanks for coming in studio.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
And good luck with the run, and of course, the not just here, but in the cities that you go to after this run. Cats, of course, downtown Chicago this summer. All right, let's take a break. Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. All right, that's going to do it for the Steve Cochran Show. I'm back tomorrow. I'm actually on tonight as well, Dave. Mm-hmm. You want to come in?
No, but I don't know if you got the word that you're also, after your show tonight, yeah, then you're doing the 11 to 2,
11 to 2
up until 11 to 1 till Nick comes
then
on.
Then I'll co-host with Nick and just stay around. Yeah. Tonight, Mark Maron. We're doing the 8 o'clock hour, an hour with Mark Maron, who's in studio promoting a new film he's in. So that'll be fun.
He's great.
He is great, and I'm excited to talk.
One of the best podcasts out there.
He is, and he's the star of Glow, which starts in August. So he's promoting that as well. So we'll talk with Mark Maron tonight on Extended 720.
Teen Studio or on the phone? Oh wow, that'll be fun.
He'll have an hour to complain.
What?
In a good way.
He may need extra time.
Yeah, right. So exciting.
How are you pulling these double shifts?
It's
Was that your idea or their idea?
It's not my idea.
It's their idea.
I will say this. The hardest part is not like doing tonight. That's fine.
Yeah.
It's then the next. It's the one tomorrow morning.
That's what catches up to
you. Mark Carman's here. Bill Left is here. I told Bill Left this. Mark, you love this. I told Bill that I watched Major League on Amazon yesterday.
It's
or the
so
day
good.
Before, and there's Bill Left getting the line of the movie. It's too high. It's too high. The home run by, I think,
Well, thank you.
Yeah, buddy.
Thank
you. I was so excited. I watched it with my brother, and I'm like, I know that guy.
It's the 30th anniversary
is
somehow.
Is that why they have it on there?
Which I don't, it doesn't make sense, because it seems like we just shot it.
Does he not? You look identical.
I look exactly the same.
You do.
Everybody else's age dramatically.
I don't know what happened.
I don't either.
Mark Carman's in for Wendy today. Hey, Mark, how's it going, buddy?
Good to see you, Justin.
Good to see you, man.
This is my first ever Bill and Wendy.
Wow, yeah, awesome.
I feel
You'll
very...
always remember your first.
Yeah, always.
Right?
So what are you going to do? What's on the show today that's going to
make
it memorable?
I know this will be a very cryptic tease, but see if you can follow it. We have a very famous Chicagoan singing his or her own version of a song. In a very unique way.
Okay.
Chance the Snapper?
Dave!
Oh! Sorry.
We have other stuff, too.
All right. Have a good show.
Thank you.